Satan is waiting for this 10-day war in us and among us. It must be repeated so that the latter rain can fall on us. The pattern has been given to us in the Scripture, in the Spirit of Prophecy, what the disciples did in those 10 days. Why can't we do the same? The pattern is clearly given to us, and now the power of Christ is waiting for our humble acceptance. And how much time do we have for this transaction, for this unity? Is there a limit? Yes, there is a limit. And I believe we must close with this. What is the deadline for Laodicea? What is the limit for Laodicea? I'm afraid that time is running out now. I find some Seventh Adventists who say, oh, I have time until the Lord's return. No, you don't. Much too late. Others come to me and say, I have time until the end of probation. No, it's much too late. End of probation is Revelation 22:11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. But this is not our deadline. This is only the deadline for non-Adventist Christians outside of our denomination. Well, then what is our deadline? This line is the Lord's return. The Lord's return. This is not a deadline for any human being to be spiritually ready. Much too late. Before that are the seven plagues, the Holy Spirit withdrawn, no more mercy, all the bridges have been torn down. No one can be converted. Tremendous persecution, Armageddon happens in here. What's this line here? The end of probation, we just read it. This is the deadline for genuine non-Adventist Christians. My guess is there are maybe 50 million born-again Christians in the world today, who live up to all the light they have. All they need now is the 3 inches messages on top of the light they have, and they will immediately come in and become Seventh Adventists. And the Lord wants them. But he hasn't been able to do it yet. This time here is the time for Babylon. This is the time the latter rain will fall. This is the time that the Laodicea will give the loud cry. But what kind of a Laodicea? A clean church. Would you invite guests into your home while your home is dirty? No. You clean your home first. The Lord has to clean through the early rain his church before he can give us the latter rain and give the loud cry. That's this period. Well, then where is our deadline to be spiritually ready, to be clean? The final shaking of Laodicea. Now, this has been going on for a long time, the shaking, but it has a high place point after which it's over. I'm speaking of the high point of the final shaking, when there will be no more shaking of Laodicea. This is our deadline. If you are not prepared for that, you will be spooed out by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about this in a minute from the Scripture and the Spirit of Prophecy. I just want to show it to you clearly, simply, on this diagram. This is our deadline. In other words, there are two deadlines. One for us, one for the rest of the Christians. Now the Holy Spirit in the form of the early rain is falling. That's revival, reformation. That's decision time. You have to make decisions. You cannot be with one leg in the world and with one in the church. It doesn't work. Christ doesn't like that mixture of worldliness and spirituality. If you move with God, it has to be a complete move. Not 97, not 98, not 99. 100% living up to all you know. You say in the Spirit of Prophecy too? Of course. I repeat, the Spirit of Prophecy is just a small link in the whole chain of men and women who have the Spirit of Prophecy. Therefore, whatever Ellen G. White says is as binding as anything else in the Scripture. Jesus himself said it 7 times in Revelation 2 and 3. It says, if you have ears, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. 7 times he says. That means Jesus says, what I have said is written in the Bible. Now listen to what the Holy Spirit says through the Spirit of Prophecy. To those men and women that I choose to give the Spirit of Prophecy. And the last one happens to be a young girl from Maine. Isn't God permitted to use an American girl? I told in Europe, I've been just 8 weeks in Europe, speaking in German, in Switzerland, Berlin, Köln, Nuremberg, Stuttgart, Vienna, to people who are neglecting the Spirit of the Prophecy, who call her the old woman, who've been 3 years today in Berlin, how to do away with the spirit of prophecy, the so-called intellectual Adventists in Europe. I said, you can perish with that kind of a concept of the spirit of prophecy. And I gave 12 sermons filled with the spirit of prophecy statement until the people were so hungry they gave me lists and said, please give us all these books translated into German. The early rain is falling now and is preparing Laodicea for the shaking. And the moment you're shaken, you will be sealed. We'll speak about six seals. And after the seals, those who successfully go through that shaking and are sealed will receive the latter rain. But I'm afraid, according to Ellen G. White and the Bible, half of us will not receive the latter rain. And that's one prophecy I would like to undo. So that, and I pray it will not come true. I shudder at the very thought when I stand before this Adventist congregation and think that half of them are lost. If we sleep now, we are dead. Paul said, awake, sleeper, from the dead, and arise so that Christ can shine upon you. We need an awakening desperately, because the shaking is on top of us. The shaking has two aspects, just like the righteousness of Christ. There's only one righteousness that has two aspects. There's only one shaking, but it has two aspects. One is a personal shaking, one is a corporate shaking. A personal shaking is the Lord is going to test you to the bone. Like in my life, I have, in the last 2 years, the most awful test. I don't even dare to speak about it. There's a problem that is, humanly speaking, unsolvable. And the Lord is trying to see whether I can only get in front of a microphone and give it a lot of words, or whether I can live it, what I'm preaching. And it's only by the grace of God that I can do it. And all of us will have such tremendous problems come in their lives. And each one in a different area. Where we are weakest, we are tested. To see whether you will endure to the end. Or whether you will throw up your faith and walk out on the Lord. Don't ever become bitter when you have such circumstances come in your life. Never allow the devil to turn a test into temptation. God tests you to save you. Satan tempts you to destroy you. Never allow Satan to turn a test into a temptation. That's what he tried to do with Job. Job, you've been such a perfect man, such a good man. Look what God is doing with you. He's not worth loving. Give him up. And he said, even if he slays me, I will trust in him. To this point, you have to come that you're willing to die for your faith, even not understanding why you have to do it, the circumstances involved. Job was never given an explanation of his suffering. Only a demonstration of the power of God. That will be given. It's been given to me too. And that's all I need. I don't need to know why this excruciating problem is in my life. That's the personal test. And I pray that you will not grow bitter. Bitter is a killer. It kills your faith. It kills your love for Christ. There are Adventists walking around going through the routine of religion with a bitterness in their heart, which is like a piece of lead, like a stone in their hearts. And they can't be delivered because they refuse to give up this bitterness, this resentment against God because of the personal problem they have. They come to me and say, Emilio, God could have changed it. God could have done something so it could have been prevented. I say, no, you would have never learned your lesson. Your faith could have never been developed to the highest degree. You need to be tested. No man can go to heaven without being tested. So I plead with all of you, and I'm sure there are many suffering souls here with personal problems they can't solve. It may be financial. It may be a marriage that Satan is trying to rip apart. It may be a financial problem, a health problem. Look to Christ and say, Lord, I trust you to the end. I accept these circumstances that you've allowed to come in my life. The other side of the shaking is a corporate shaking. Suddenly, problems will come over the whole church. Controversial problems. Each of us will have to take a decision. And those who will walk out and give up Christ and give up the church and give up everything, they will never be permitted to return during the loud cry. This time here, is a time of mercy for Babylon, not for Laodicea. Time for Laodicea runs out now. And I think we are walking right into the shaking. And if you don't spend that time with Christ every day, I don't think you will have the strength to go through it, what's coming. You have to rearrange your priorities. This is not the time to make money, 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 bigger houses. This is the time to get rid of many, many good activities which get into the way of the scripture and the spirit of prophecy and prayer. I was in the home, I always stay in the home of our leading layman wherever I go here. It doesn't matter which city, I don't want to identify. Here I came into a home of one of our physicians. I walked in, I saw right away, this must be a $400,000 house, a $500,000. It was a mansion. When I opened the door, this elder, this first elder of the church, he had a light green coat on, he had yellow pants, white shoes, a blue tie. Beside him stood his wife with a hairdo this high and a miniskirt that went about here. And beside them was their son holding the hand of a young, beautiful blonde. They said, "Welcome into our home, Emilio. We have a beautiful guest room ready for you." I said, "In an hour the Sabbath begins. Are you going to come to my meeting?" "Of course we will." I said, "How about your son?" "Oh, well, you know young people. You know, he's going to a party with this young girl." I said, "Is she an Adventist?" "No, if she's not. But you know young people today, you can't do anything." My heart sank to the ground. I said, "Lord, you sent me to this home only for one thing. Is to reveal you to them. Maybe not for these 2,000 people, just for this family. Lord, do something, a miracle. Touch them, Holy Spirit. I can't, but you can." And I went into the bedroom and I dropped on my knees and I prayed for this doctor. Then I went to the meeting and they dared to come in all that wild outfit and sit in the third row. They looked like parakeets in all these colors. And suddenly in the middle of my sermon, the Holy Spirit says, "Now speak." And I said, "When the richest person in the universe came to our world, he had only a suit and a coat. When he was hungry, he had to go in a wheat field. When he had to pay a head tax, he had to do a miracle and take the money out of a fish. But we, his followers, we build bigger and bigger barns, bigger and bigger more beautiful homes, larger cars, and we go to Colorado in the winter and we go to Bermuda some other time, and we wear the flashiest clothes, we live only for ourselves. Aren't we ashamed to call ourselves the followers of the Son of God?" That's all I said. Went right on with my sermon. And at midnight, all exhausted from counseling individuals up to midnight, I went back to the home, opened the door, there they stood. He had a dark suit on, white tie, dark tie. He was crying, sobbing. Beside him stood his wife. Her hair was down. Her skirt was down too. They said, "Please don't go to your room, Emilio. We need to talk to you. God has spoken to us like never before. Please don't go into your room." I said, "No, I have time." And I sat down with them, and while they were sobbing, he said, "Emilio, the Holy Spirit told us we did everything wrong. We live for ourselves, we are third generation Adventists. But all we were thinking about, more money, more money. I've been doing business from 7 in the morning to about 11 at night. Even at night, I took slides of my operation and then marveled at the operation that I've been performing during the day. Want to see my suits?" He took me into his room and there were about 30, $500 suits. She showed me her wardrobe with mink coats outside of a 3 Cadillac. He said, "It's all finished. My wife and I came home at 10:30, and we've been on our knees, and we made a resolution. Number one, we sell this house. We can't live in this luxurious house anymore. We're going to sell it and move into a other part of the city and buy a house maybe $70,000 or $80,000. Number two, I'm going to get an assistant and unload about 2 days of work and give it to him. My income, let it drop. Let it drop. I don't care. I want 2 days to give to the Lord and to the church, holding meetings, telling people about health reform, about the gospel, the 3 inches messages. I have so many friends and customers, I've never done it once. And I'm going to get rid of all those Cadillacs. I'm going to get rid of all those suits. I'm going to have a different life. But my son, I led him in the wrong direction. He's probably dancing somewhere in a party with a non-Adventist girl. Oh, may God have mercy on me." I said, "Today salvation has come to your house." It was like seeing Zacchaeus. "Oh, I'm going to give 4 times as much back as I've stolen." That's what it looked like. My dear friends, my dear Laodiceans, this is the time to make decisions, drastic decisions. You may not be rich, but you may have other hang-ups that you've refused to let go. You have to let go of all that hinders you to making a 100% commitment to Christ. Otherwise, you will spood out during the shaking. Only genuine ones who have accepted the full early rain will be sealed and given the latter rite. And the beautiful thing is that when you come to this point of allowing the Holy Spirit to invade you and live up to 100% what you know, you will be sealed and will no longer sin either willfully or accidentally until the Lord returns. This is the only generation in the history of the world that will be so filled with the Holy Spirit that your old nature is dormant. Because this is the judgment of Laodicea. If you would go on sinning or even one sin, then you have to be judged again. But you will not. This is the final judgment of Laodicea. Therefore, you will be sealed and so filled with the Holy Spirit, you will not sin anymore until the Lord returns. And I want to be among those. Now let's look at what the Scripture says. I'm reading from That I May Know Him, page 350. Let none follow the example of the foolish virgins and think that it will be safe to wait until the crisis comes before gaining a preparation of character to stand in that time. It will be too late to seek for the righteousness of Christ when the guests are called in and examined. Now is the time to put on the righteousness of Christ. In the parable, the foolish virgins are represented as begging for oil and failing to receive it at their request. This is symbolic of those who have not prepared themselves by developing a character to stand in a time of crisis. The Lord has given to every individual an opportunity to obtain a righteous character. The day is coming and it is close upon us when every phase of character will be revealed by special temptation. Those who remain true to principle, who exercise faith during the previous hours of their probation and have formed characters after the likeness of Christ will stand. It will be those who have cultivated close acquaintance with Christ, who through His wisdom and His grace are partakers of the divine nature. Let no one put off the day of preparation, lest the call be made. Go forth to meet the bridegroom, and you be found as were the foolish virgins with no oil in your vessels, with your lamps. Here it is. The letter of Jesus to Laodicea and the parable of the 10 virgins, that parable, according to Ellen G. White, applies to this time between our deadline and the deadline for the other Christians. During this time, there is no more grace offered to Adventists to change their mind about sin. It's too late. In other words, no more oil for sale means you will receive no more grace. There's only oil for non-Adventist Christians. This is the wrong time to buy oil. Where is the time to buy oil? Now. Over there. The letter of Jesus to Laodicea is in Revelation 3:18. What does it say? Buy from me gold, that is love and its faith. Buy from me white raiment, that's the righteousness of Christ, imputed and imparted. Buy from me oil, that's the Holy Spirit. Be zealous. Repent. I stand at the door of your heart and knock. Let me in and take control of your life. But this letter runs out at the shaking. After that, the Lord will no longer speak to us. He will speak to Billy Graham, Leighton Forbes, Bill Guthrie, Upton Gay, and millions of others. And I know many of them who are living beautiful lives. Ellen G. White said there are more genuine Christians outside and inside. And the Lord is trying to bring him in. When? During this time here, and He gives them oil. He suddenly opens their mind to understanding the 3 inches message. Billy will say, why did I speak about the state of the dead in such a way? How stupid. How could I have been so blind? I said that. I thought like Billy, the state of the dead, his way for 10 years. And suddenly, when I met this wonderful pastor, Charles Solomon, he opened the scripture, and the veil was removed. The Holy Spirit did it. And he called me in. Well, there are many like this outside there. I spoke to Bill Gossop 7 hours about the Sabbath in his office in Illinois. After 7 hours, after we covered it from Genesis to Revelation with Pastor Solomon, he wept like a child, and Bill Gossop accepted the Sabbath. There are many like this outside. They will be called in. In other words, there'll be a transfusion of blood. Many of us will be spewed out, and many others will come in and take our place. I don't want to be among those who are going to be spewed out by the Lord. I made it very plain here. The parable of 10 virgins, the 5 foolish virgins, 1 to buy oil. That's the Adventists who under the early rain did not want to make decisions and change their lifestyle. No more oil for Adventists. Oil only for non-Adventists. And the last chance for Babylon will run out at the end of probation. And this will be probably a very short time. Isaiah saw it and he said, a nation will be born at once in a day. It will be a very short time. And numerically it will go up steep. And then it's all over. Think of the midnight cry. The midnight cry was the bridegroom comes. And it brought immediate separation between the five foolish and the five wise virgins. They were not separated at the door of the bridegroom, but much before. When the cry was heard, wake up, get up. All 10 lighted their lamps, but the lamps of the five foolish virgins did not burn long. They lacked oil. They went to buy oil, but there was no more oil for sale. The revival messages that you hear now from one end to the earth to the other, and it's not just me, there are many revivalists among us. There's one or two that are speaking to you in this camp meeting that I just met. There are many, and we don't even know each other. We don't compare notes with each other. We have the same message. These revival messages, in my opinion, are the last ones we're ever going to hear. That's my personal opinion. There's nothing coming after it but the shaking. And if you don't listen now and don't change yourself now, you're lost. 50% of us are lost. Jesus said, two will be in one bed, one will be taken, one will be left. Two will be working one field, one will be left, one will be taken. That's 50% each time, just like the five foolish virgins are 50% of the 10. That's a terrible ratio. Where do you stand as you're sitting here tonight? I may never even speak to you again, but I want to you to make a decision tonight. Many of us are not living up to the health reform message that I see as the number one sin of us. We are all overweight. Fat people going from door to door with a message. You know what they say, those people? Physician, heal yourself. First apply to your own body what you want me to accept. They won't listen. The Holy Spirit will not work through you. The Holy Spirit works only through clean channels. That means people who go all the way. The second is immorality. There is tremendous immorality among us. Adultery, fornication, and homosexuality, the works. The world has invaded us. I know it because I counsel people up to midnight wherever I go. They tell me I never disclose it. Wife of a headmaster of a saying she's living with one of the young teachers. What shall I do? What shall you do? I said, you tell your husband immediately quit this job and move away. As far as you can, so you won't even be exposed to that young man, and you repent and you never do it again. She took me to the airport and wept in the car and said, I'll do it, brother, I'll do it. But it's all among us. Young people on the West Coast, I've almost finished preaching with them, took me aside in that beautiful camp outside of San Francisco and saying, Emilio, when you spoke on marriage, I wanted to speak tonight on marriage, but I don't have the time. You certainly laid it hard on us about adultery and fornication. That's nothing wrong with it. We are not married. We are allowed to go to bed with each other. My father said, as long as I'm not married, I can do it, just as long as I remain faithful to the one I get married to. And I said, who is your father? He was a minister. I said, your father is dead wrong. I don't care whether he's a minister. You are not to touch a young girl until you're married to her. Where are our values? And then you're spending 2-3 hours a day on more television. Television is the last arm of Satan to reach into your home and grab you. With good programs, but they take your mind into captivity. To captive. That these programs are so fascinating that you neglect the spiritual preparation. You will not fill your lamp with oil and you will be dry. Throw your television set out of your house. There's no room for it. Sex literature, Playboy magazine. Yes, I've seen it in the homes of our people. There's no room for such a thing. Every picture that you see with your eyes makes a 30-year impression on your brain. Protect the avenue to your brain, your eyes, your ears, everything. The first look is temptation. The second look is sin. Don't take it. You have to take sin seriously, man. Christ took it seriously. Just look at him bleeding on that cross, how seriously he took your sins. But we cuddle sin. We love it. And perish. Revival time, which is now, is decision time. False Adventists will be shaken out now. True Adventists will remain loyal to Christ in the church, will remain in the church. False and true Adventists will not remain together forever. Review and Herald, July 5, 1906. Is the key statement. We don't need 100 statements of the Bible or the Ellen G. White. One statement is enough. You don't need 100. Listen to this one. I repeat, Review and Herald, July 5, 1906. The time of God's destructive judgment is the time of God's mercy. And these destructive judgments are going to fall here already. Inside here. During the loud cry, the judgment will begin. Sunday laws, persecution will all begin in there. The time of God's destructive judgment is the time of God's mercy for those who've had no opportunity to learn what is truth. Tenderly will the Lord look upon them. His heart of mercy is touched. His hand of mercy is still stretched out to save, while the door is closed to those who would not enter. Large numbers will be admitted who in these last days hear the truth for the first time. Yes, Catholics, Episcopalians, Baptists, Congregationalists will come and jam our churches and desire to be taught and baptized, and our minister will be baptizing them from morning to night during this short time. And our laymen will be teaching them and preparing them for baptism all day long. It's going to be a fantastic surprise done by the Lord. He will do it. He will cut the work short in righteousness. He will use means that we've never heard of before. Testimonies to ministers 3:99. We may be sure that when the Holy Spirit is poured out, those who did not receive and appreciate the early rain will not see or understand the value of the latter rain. Second selected message is 380. The church may appear as about to fall, but it does not fall. No, the church organization will go right through until the end. I mean, until after the end of probation. And then, who knows, it may have to change, and we may be without an organization, without churches, and stand alone. But it will go right through the shaking and through the loud cry. It does not fall, it remains, and now it comes. While the sinner in Zion, that's the sinner inside the church, will be sifted out. This is a terrible ordeal, but nevertheless it must take place. We must be divested of our self-righteousness and arrayed in the righteousness of Christ. 5 Thessalonians 136. That's a dreadful statement. To stand in defense of truth and righteousness when the majority forsake us. Again, the majority is 51%. To fight the battles of the Lord when champions are few, this will be our test. Ellen G. White said, whole groups went out. Well, you just said the majority, but tribes came in to take the place. Early writings, 270, many could not bear the Laodicean message, which is Revelation, that message right there. Why did he say buy? Why did he say I'll give it to you, my gold? Because the highest price is attached to it, the death of self. Many of us are not willing to die to self. That means it's all up here, it's all theory, not the practical life. Some of us fall asleep at 11 o'clock at night opening the Bible for the first time, 5 minutes, and we fall asleep with the Bible on our chest. Others pray 3 minutes. How can you possibly cultivate a relationship with a complex God in 3 minutes? You have to give Him time. And after that big chunk of time in the morning, I pray about 100 times a day. Our flesh, our prayers all the time. I'm in constant communication with Him. You see, if Seventh Adventists could return here, then why is there a shaking? There would have to be another shaking later on. This is it. This is our deadline. Of course, if you have apostatized a long time ago, you can return during this time because you're part of Babylon now. But this is Babylonian time, not Laodicean time. Laodicean time runs out here. Amos 9:9, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel. That's us. Judgment begins with the house of God. Among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. If you're genuine, this shaking will not eliminate you. You're safe. 4 Testimonies 51, God is now sifting His people, testing their purposes and their motives. Many will be but as chaff, no wheat, no value in them. What are some of the ways we're going to be sifted out? How are we going to be sifted out in here? Who is going to be sifted out? Number one, those who cannot take a personal crisis. Your husband walks out on you and you collapse. Your faith collapses. You go bitter against God and the church and you walk out. You lose your money, you lose your health. I'm working right now with dozens of people who have tremendous calamities. I'm in telephone conversation with them all the time to give them the strength to go through their ordeal. But those who will not endure a personal crisis, they will be sifted out. The other group is intellectual. It's all up here. It never has gone into a practical life. The third group, the worldly minded, who are with one leg in the world, with another in the church. Don't pay tithes. I just come from a place, never mind where it is. Half the church doesn't pay tithes. I mean, I asked him, said, the Lord didn't repeat it in the New Testament. I showed it to them that he did. They didn't believe me. Then they dared to say, I don't pay tithes because I think our leaders are not using the money correct way. I said, that's none of your business. If you give it, you give it to the Lord. And if they don't use it in the right way, they will have to account before God, not you. We are worrying too much about our leadership and how they're spending the money. Doesn't Revelation 1 very plainly point out that the leaders, the stars, are in the hands of Christ? He called them, he leads them. And if there's anything to be corrected in our leadership, he will do it. He doesn't need you and me. We are not to be revolutionaries, but reformers. As a matter of fact, if you're overly concerned about the leadership of our church, it means that you're accusing Christ of being asleep on the switch. You're not doing your job. You're sinning. Don't do it. Love them, pray for them, give the tithes. Faithfully and love gifts, and leave the rest up to the Holy Spirit, how he leads the leaders in using this money. Pray for them. Give your advice, but don't withhold the money for that reason. The fourth group that's going to be sifted out, in my opinion, are the fanatics who ask for more than God asks for. And we have those too. Usually they are highly critical people. You know what a fanatic is? He has a hot head and a cold heart. That should be the opposite. They should have a warm heart and a cool head. The fifth group are rebels against authority, our leadership. The sixth group are those who oppose the spirit of prophecy and constantly neglect it. And the seventh group are those who refuse the message of Christ to the Laodicean church. That's right there. To buy from them gold now, his love and his faith. To buy from him his righteousness and his Holy Spirit now to fill the lamp with oil. But if you will not be among these groups, but you will fill your soul with the Holy Spirit, with these teachings, you will be sealed six ways. What are these six seals? Seal number one. The Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Seal number two, the Sabbath, Revelation 7:2 and 3, the angel going and sealing us on our foreheads. Seal number three, meditation and right study. The 3 hours I've been telling you. Four Bible commentaries, 1161. Just as soon as the people of God are sealed in their foreheads, it's not any seal or mark that can be seen, but a settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, so they cannot be moved. That's the 3 hours you spend. You're settling into the truth. You become so sure of what you believe that no power on earth can shake you from it. Seal number four is called the cover. Early writings 43. Satan is now using every device in the sealing time to keep the minds of God's people from the present truth. I saw a covering that God was drawing over his people to protect them in the time of trouble. And every soul that was decided on the truth and was pure in heart was to be covered with the covering of the Almighty. I saw Satan was trying to hold them where they were until the sealing was passed, until the covering was drawn over God's people. God has begun to draw this covering over his people, and it will soon be drawn over all who are to have a shelter in the day of slaughter. Seal number five, it's called a cover of light. Christ's object lesson 172. He will shut us in with the bright beams of the Son of Righteousness. Beyond this, Satan cannot penetrate. He cannot pass this shield of holy light. The sixth seal, firm adherence to the right. Five Testimonies 213. By a life of holy endeavor and firm adherence to the right, the children of God were sealing their destiny. Sixth seal. There's only one more thing to say to you, and that is what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain.
For he says, I've heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I believe it's written up here somewhere. Zephaniah 2:3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore, pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. 2 Peter 1:10 and 11, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's decision time. You don't know how grateful I am to see Brother Kuhn here, Brother Frizee and others, because all these men the Lord has called to give these last messages to shake us up from our indifference. Because our conscience is about as hard as the soles of our shoes. Are you willing to be awakened? Are you willing to go all the way and separate yourself from this world and sin and Satan all the way? I have done it. Why don't you come and do it quickly? If you have not yet given 100% to the Lord and have not surrendered all to Him, how beautiful it would be if you came up here and gave a quick testimony that you're willing to go all the way. Not a sermon. 15 seconds. It's all you need. Because it's something that happens inside of you, but it's beautiful if you say it, vocalize it, say it to the Lord in all of us. Why don't you come up here quickly and make this commitment to go 100% for Christ? Who wants to be first? Just get out of your seat and come here and make this commitment. Don't be ashamed. Christ was not ashamed to hang naked outside of Jerusalem for you. Why should you be ashamed to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been lukewarm. I want to go all the way. I don't want to be sifted out. Just come up one way and then go back to your seat the other way and make it real quick.
I had the privilege of having pastor in our church for 4 months. So what he's been preaching is nothing new, just a reminder. And believe me, it's a very strong reminder. I'm being a colporteur, and I want to go out and visit people and share this wonderful message with them. But before I can do it, I pray to God with all my heart that I may accept His word and His spirit of prophecy. And not be a hypocrite. Thank you.
Amen.
I've enjoyed the camp meeting so much here in the New York area. I've enjoyed tonight. And I pray the Lord that I may give my heart and soul and life to Him
completely. Praise the Lord.
Fine.
Come right ahead.
I know for us that are in self-supporting work, it's really easy to be self-righteous. But I know I see in myself different things. When someone shows me new light, I just get really hard in my heart. And I know that the Lord, we have to give these all up to the Lord, or else we just won't make it.
Right.
And I just want to give my heart to the Lord now, fully and completely to Him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Come a little closer.
I want to rededicate my life to God and follow Him all the way. So help me, God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, brother.
I have not been in this particular message very long, but I know that the Lord has directed my life. Though I choose at times not to listen to Him, but I pray and I give thanks to the Lord for being merciful, for giving us this time that we will turn and repent. And my brothers and sisters, we need to, because the time is very short. Let us pray for one another that we may stand strong when the final time comes for each and every one of us.
Amen. Amen.
I want to give my heart, mind, and soul to Christ without reservation.
Amen.
I also want no reservation in my life. I want to be a part and finish this work, and we all want to go home together.
Amen.
I'm thankful for this wonderful, beautiful message tonight. And I'm thankful that the Lord has spoken to my heart and that I can come tonight and give myself to the Lord and seek the help that I need. The Lord has spoken to me tonight. And I want to give myself to the Lord by His grace and by prayerful study. The Lord can carry me and everyone here through.
Amen.
I'm thankful tonight.
God bless you, brother. Come right close.
Tonight, I surrender all. Each time I make a promise to the Lord at each camp meeting, and after a few months, it's all forgotten. But tonight, with all my heart, I surrender all to Him, that I may be ready when He shall come. We have been really not observant of the time. We have been looking for probation, and we have made a lot of mistakes, but tonight I've seen it. And I'm promising with God's help to follow Him all the way.
Amen. God bless you, sir.
I'm 16 years old, and I know that the Lord has been guiding me and directing me in my youth, and because I know what's going on in the world today, and I thank the Lord for ever being by my side and guiding me. And I know that it's never too late to be lost, and I ask that you may pray for me that I may ever grow closer to our Lord.
Amen. God bless you.
Lord, I love Thee. And I want to give my whole self to Thee.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Through the many trials and tribulations that I have been through, taught me there's no other way but to follow Almighty God. And the Holy Bible proves the many things that makes it so real to us all. You see the picture each day I have developed. As a matter of fact, the drama is unfolding continuously. It's right before our eyes. And this great man here today has really brought forth the true word. Thank you.
Be faithful. God bless you.
I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to witness that I love Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I thank the Lord for everything that He has done for me. And I want to follow Him as far all the way.
Amen. God bless you. Be strong.
I want to thank God and work better for Him. My first wife died 2 years ago after 24 years of terminal cancer. And she was praying for God to send me a good woman to take her place. And God sent me a second perfect wife that I can work with her in God's work for the rest of my life, unless I intend to do.
Beautiful. God bless you.
This is Florence.
Fine, Florence. You come here.
Well, I want to thank Elder Knickley for bringing this wonderful message. And I want you to pray that as we're leaving to Florida, we don't see you all again. That we hope and meet in the kingdom. And I want to go all the way with Christ as I'm traveling. And for my loved one, we would like to see a revival in our churches and for our loved ones to come. I ask you to pray as we go on our way.
Amen.
That we could see you again. That the Lord would take us that we could meet in the kingdom.
Amen.
And we thank you.
Thank you,
heaven. And do pray for my arm that the doctors can take it off soon.
Yes, indeed.
We should
get well real quick. Hi.
I'm 30 years old, and I'm a member of the Hebrew congregation in Manhattan. And I've known the Lord for 2 years, and I'd like to rededicate my life to Jesus. I've just been out of the hospital, and I was diagnosed. I have Hodgkin's disease. And I hope and I pray, I know the Lord's testing me and my faith, and I rededicate my life to Him, and I pray that through His grace that He heals me, and I ask that you all pray for me that I'll survive this. And I have a 10.5-year-old daughter, and I hope that you pray for her also, that she has strength to go through this with me.
Amen.
When I joined the church 20 years ago, I wanted to say to the Lord, do whatever thou wilt with me. But I was afraid to say it. But after you're in with the Lord a few years, you suddenly realize that He is good and generous, and you should never be afraid to say that to Him. Well, I reached a point where I can say it to Him, but yet I find myself daily fighting it. Little things He sends me that trials. And so I want to ask the Lord tonight, with His grace, with His Holy Spirit, that I would like to surrender my whole life to Him and to die complete death.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wonderful.
I just want to say, Father, I love Thee. And as Peter said, I'll never deny Thee, Lord. And yet I feel in so many ways I've denied the Lord. I've denied Him the time He needs in my life. And I want to open my heart to God. And I pray for each one of you. It's grieved my heart, and I know it grieves the heart of God so much when He sees the things His people do and still call Himself His people. Can we pray this prayer with David? Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. May God help each one of us to not be sifted out. It's my prayer for each one of you.
Thankful to be here tonight. It's one thing that the Lord spoke to my heart, particularly on tonight, it's the need for each one of us to have an individual experience with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was reminded of a little story that I heard of a man traveling in the North Country, and the signs there that said, don't feed the wild animals. And he found out why we aren't to feed the wild animals. Because the wild animals, if they don't learn to forage for themselves, when winter comes, they starve. I don't want to be like one of those wild animals by being fed all the time by other people, that when hard times come, I can't feed myself because I haven't foraged for myself. So I want to ask God tonight. I'm not too old in this church to ask God tonight to help me to dig more deeply into His Word, to learn to feed my own soul more than I have in the past.
Amen. God bless you.
It was really hard for me to come up here tonight, but I just praise the Lord that He worked a miracle in my heart tonight and He cleansed it. And I just see my great need. I want so much for God's name to be glorified and avenged, that people might know how much He loves us. And look what He's dealing with. He's dealing with such dust. And I just pray that He'll use me and He'll use each one of us to woo people to let them experience how much He loves them. And I just see my own need, and I just praise God for it. I just want to give myself wholly to Him to be used, that other people might be loved by Him through us.
Amen.
20 years I've known that Jesus is coming, and I haven't been the kind of witness that I should be. And I want Jesus to save me, to save my family, my husband's family. And I thank Him for the meetings.
Oh, you will. I don't want anyone to go to bed tonight and say, I wish I had the courage to come and testify of Christ. I wish I had the courage. You can't always do it. It's only when the Holy Spirit draws you and convicts you. So come quickly. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you want to surrender to Him. This is the day of your salvation.
I just want to say that I've spent too many years substituting the work of the Lord for the Lord of the work. And I want that to change right now. And I thank the Lord that it's not too late.
Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give.
Amen.
I'm so very thankful for Jesus, and I commit my life and I throw this wretched self at the throne of the righteous Lord of the universe. And I'm so very thankful for the gift of his Holy Spirit, and I pray that he truly touched your hearts tonight and spoke to you, and that we've learned something very great in the name of Jesus.
God bless you, brother.
I haven't always done right, but I try to do some right sometimes. And I want to thank Jesus because he loves me, even though I'm not anything special. And I want to do everything right. And I thank that he can be helping me, because I'm not anything special, but he has something for me to do in this life. And I want to follow him the best way I can.
Amen.
I just want to say that I love the Lord, and I want to dedicate my life to him completely tonight. And I know that the only way that we can truly serve the Lord is to study these two books, like Brother Connectley said. If we don't spend time each day with him, you won't have that connection with him that you need. And I pray for all of you here, and I ask all of you to pray for me, that I'll take the time every day, just like I eat every day. I need to communicate with him and have a connection with him. And so do you. And none of us will make it if we don't do that.
God bless you.
I just want to thank my Jesus for providing me a way to get to heaven. I don't want to be shaken out at the last, and I'm sure that none of you do either. I just pray that he'll keep me faithful to the end, and I rededicate myself to him.
Amen. God bless you.
I praise God for revealing himself to me. I couldn't understand how could he. Knowing of his great might, how often I take things into my hands, knowing that I can't defend myself, that he could all the time. And today, not only today, but the more I know God, the more trials I have, sometimes I says, should I really want to know him more? But it's true. I need the trials. I know how much changes I need. And today, I had a great trial. I had to go to undo something with some people that I had, where I had worked to settle some crisis with some Jewish people. And as I was driving to Monticello, I was listening to the tapes by Emilio, and I said, I think I was listening to the presence of God and suffering is the road to heaven, something like that. And I said, how can I represent Jesus to them? I was right and they were wrong, and I had to apologize to them. It's not so easy. I lost money in a job and I had to do it for nothing, and they were wrong. I know they were wrong. And I prayed all the way while I was listening to the tape, that God can give me this strength. And I said, Lord, you said, you'd say the numbers. And God has spoken to me. And I prayed that he wouldn't give me any bad feeling toward those people. And through God's grace, I loved them just the same as I did before when we were on the right terms. We remain on the right terms. Only through God's grace we can do that.
Amen.
To love our enemy. And I praise God for his servant. He has been my teacher, and God has many, many times used him to bring things into my life and to help me. I praise God for it.
Brothers and sisters, just a little over a year ago in this very camp, I committed myself to Christ through Emilio here, an American cassette ministry. And after I was through with that, I said, the Lord, ask the Lord what he could do to help me to distribute his holy word to the rest of the world. And some way, through the Holy Spirit, has led me into the American Set Ministry to help spread this gospel. And I'm thankful that I'm a part of it. And most of all, I'm thankful that I'm a part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I found the true Christ here. Thank you for listening to me.
Amen. God bless you.
I want to praise the Lord tonight for all the blessings he put upon us, upon me, especially. And now, in this moment, he's brought me from Alabama to stay here in New York to work together with us, brothers, and Lifeline, Peekskill. It's a great job to do, brothers and sisters. We are ask you to pray for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you.
God bless.
I want to thank Christ tonight for the cleansing that comes with suffering and for the knowledge that he is our Savior and that he can give peace of mind.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, sister. Be strong.
I just want to say I love Jesus and I want to endure until the end by his grace.
Amen. Let us rise and sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.